The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to Tony Curry Radio and the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. We do a show every single week, and we check in with Mark Ingram. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. Therefore, it is called the UAB Blazers Director's Chair, the AD Director's Chair. We welcome Mark Ingram in right now. Happy New Year to you, my man. How you doing, brother? How's 2023 treating you? Everything good?
Yeah, all good here, my friend.
Okay, whenever, depending on you hear this particular podcast, we're hoping that the Blazers will be 13-2, a huge contest against FAU, who's 12-1, having a stellar season. They came on the road, so hopefully by the time you hear this, they'll watch another win there. And of course, congratulations to Jordan Walker, who I got a chance to go down and check out the UTEP game. I was with my three kids. I'll tell you a quick story. We were celebrating Christmas. We had just gone on a Amtrak train ride. We were on this train all day long. We get back around 5:30, and of course, my 18-year-old says, "You know, the Blazers are playing tonight, Dad." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know, we could just shoot straight over to Bartow Arena and check out the game against UTEP tonight." So we checked it out, and I am just dragging. I am super, super tired. Blazers down by 5, 27 seconds left. I'm like, let's just get to the buzzer and head to the house. And what happens? They go overtime. Yeah. And then they go another overtime and miraculously win that basketball game in one of the greatest atmospheres I've seen in Bartow Arena. So congratulations. We talk about it every single week. Just a great year that Andy Kennedy and his squad's having right now. And based on that, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Send your email questions. We'll read them all here. Hey, Tony, just wanted to say I'm a regular listener, the director's chair. Very much appreciate your podcast. My question is for AD Mark Ingram. Are there any plans for future renovations to Bartow Arena? If so, what is planned? I also wanted to ask if the move to the American next year, are there any plans to move the student section to center court? That's from Tim Theus. So knock it out, my man.
Good old Tim Theus.
Yes.
Well, first of all, that game that you're talking about, UTEP, it was like a roller coaster. It's like terrifying, man. And thrilling. It was fun, but yeah, scary at the same time. And Florida Atlantic, who you mentioned, I think the last time I checked, Florida Atlantic's net ranking was 11th.
Yes.
And yeah, they're really good. And their coach used to be here at UAB as an assistant with Mike Davis, Dusty Baker. So really, really good guy, really good coach, and has done a terrific job there in Boca. And yeah, tough task for our guys down there. But yeah, season's going well, and got a lot of talent, as you've seen, and you mentioned that. Regarding Bartow Arena, you know, we want to do some things to Bartow. We're having those conversations now about what that looks like. And as we go into the American Athletic Conference, what is necessary to really compete, you know, the FedEx Forum where Memphis plays, and SMU has done a great job with their facility. And so, you know, Temple's got a great arena where I used to work. I know about it well. It's called the Leocoris Center. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're up to the same standard as our competitors. And there's a lot of really good ideas. We are open to any good idea. Any idea is a good idea, frankly. But the main conversation is around that the bones of the building are good. What can we do to modernize the concourse? What can we do to modernize the amenities for our fans? Maybe create some premium seating areas. And interesting question there about the student section, because mm-hmm. that is also one, not only the student section potentially moving, but also, you know, the lower level of the arena. Some people probably know this well, and some people maybe have never even paid attention to it. It's like the bottom half of the lower level is retractable seating. And in the end zone, the seating is kind of crescent shaped. So if you sit in the end zone, you know, you're 20, 30 feet from the court at row one. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a way to find to get those retractable seats to come out almost in a more square fashion, closer to the court, so that you create a more intimate lower level atmosphere? These are all things we're looking at right now. We're kind of in an exploratory phase. Nothing even presented yet to the Board of Trustees in terms of what our plans are. just a good, healthy discussion about what do we think is important to us and what are things that we would want if we're able to renovate the arena. But it's a significant project and one that's really important because it is a space that the public goes into and is probably, other than the hospital, probably the one building at UAB that is visited more by the public than any other building, again, not counting the hospital. So it's, you know, we have a number of high school graduations, and so Dr. Watts is really excited about doing something to the arena, and we look forward to being able to present that as those plans evolve.
He's Mark Ingram, Athletic Director for the UAB Blazers. This is called the UAB Director's Chair, and of course you can hear it wherever you get your podcast. We're available on every major industry. How much, obviously, Andy Kenny's brought a brand and brought in some excitement back to the UAB basketball program. And I realize that he's the coach. He's not the builder. But what kind of persuasion does he have when it comes to trying to expand or do things for not only the UAB basketball program, but also for the arena itself?
Yeah, well, I think he knows that anything that enhances the experience for our fan base is good for the basketball program. We're trying to build this, and our attendance has been better this year than it was last year, which was better than the year before. And we'd all like to see it go from, you know, 3,500 to 7,000 overnight, you know, but we're averaging 500 to 700 more people every game than we did last year. And that's the right direction. We're hoping to increase that and continue to see how that builds through the conference season. Our student attendance is nearly double what it was last year at this point. So everything's trending in the right direction. We just, you know, we're all eager to get there yesterday. And, you know, patience is tough when you're trying to really move the needle and move the needle quickly. And I think he and I are both hopeful, along with many of us, that the change in competition and our opponents next year will have a positive impact on the crowd. And based on conversations with our fans, I think a lot of people are looking forward to that.
And I know that there's different ownership values here, but I mean, it seems like that downtown area, certainly with the uptown area, you got the Birmingham Barons Stadium that now is obviously starting to mature itself, but you've got the Legacy thing that just had redone. You've got your new football stadium, Protective, which of course is co-owned by the City of Birmingham, and you guys sank some money into it. Now they're talking about building this amphitheater. That area of town is just blowing up. So it would just seem right that perhaps Bartow could get a bit of a makeover too. So I know fans are super excited about that. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Just email us anytime. We'll go ahead and take your questions and get to them. So 2012, January 3rd, we lost, of course, Gene Bartow. And almost to the day, we have lost his lovely bride at the age of 91. Just wanted you to share just a few moments about Ruth Bartow and the things she meant to the Bartow family, and not only that, but the UAB Blazer Nation. Obviously, we always talk about behind every great man, there's a greater woman. But wow, at the age of 91, and I know she was still going to games just as recent as the last couple of years. But talk about her a little bit, what she meant to the program.
Yeah, she was just a really neat lady. And you mentioned her coming to games. She was still coming to games. It was probably around the pandemic time that we had to limit our capacity is when she stopped attending. But prior to that was coming to, you know, a lot of our games, the majority of our home games. And, I mean, just how wonderful is that? And we would have fans bring her to games, some of her close friends that were close to her and Coach Bartow. And I see that out of a lot of our fans. I've had other people, that maybe our fans, don't really know, but, hear stories about them bringing somebody, a neighbor, a friend that has enjoyed coming to the games, but maybe they're getting up in years and can't drive at night or isn't comfortable or aren't comfortable driving at night, and they'll bring them to the games. And I just think that's a wonderful thing about our fan base. There is sort of a tight-knit community here, which is terrific. You know, we do the Bartow Classic every year. We plan on continuing that. Most people don't know that that Mrs. Bartow would make a personal contribution to that every single year. And those funds go to the Gene Bartow Fund for Cancer Research over at the O'Neill Comprehensive Cancer Center here at UAB. And she is not a person looking for fanfare. She never asked for a check presentation. We do it, though, because we know it's something that our fans really enjoy and appreciate. And and it's part of who we are. So she's certainly somebody that's going to be missed, but a really neat lady, and we're going to find ways to continue recognizing and honoring her for the remainder of the year.
Amen, brother. UAB director, director's chair. This is the UAB athletic director, Mark Ingram. We join him every single week here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio. And thanks to the 100,000 people who have already downloaded the app. And of course, we're also talking about a wonderful podcast network. We can listen to all the previous shows. We'll also be working to get Coach Trent Dilfer on here the next couple of weeks. So we'll look forward to that here on Tony Curry Radio, on our Tony Curry Radio network. I'd be remiss not to ask you about the biggest sports story, certainly, over the last week, if not the entire football season, with DeMar Hamlin. I'm certainly that you're aware of it, and I know as a football player, a previous football player, and an athletic director of a huge university, you've got a take on this. But what were your thoughts on what exactly happened and how we've dealt with it?
Yeah, you know, as you know, my wife is from Cincinnati, so she's a Bengals fan, God bless her heart. And so we were watching the game, and it was terrifying. And the thing that is most important to us in college athletics and professional sports is the health and safety of the student athlete. It may not always seem that way. People can, you know, criticize for all sorts of things, as they often do, but that really is our number one objective, is to make sure that everybody's able to compete safely. And so it was terrifying to see. And I know that Anthony McFarland made a comment that I thought was right, which is, you see players get injured, and they might even have to be carted off for a leg injury, or, you know, heaven forbid, a spinal injury, which does happen from time to time. Not often, but it does happen. But you're not concerned about someone losing their life. And and when you're watching someone receive chest compressions and CPR for several minutes, that really changes the perspective of the situation. And I thought that the NFL reacted quickly, and between them and the Players Association, postponing the game. And I think that was absolutely the right thing. And someone at some point almost, I think they did ask, why is it taking so long? Well, it really wasn't that long. No. And there's a lot of people that are talking. You know, the coaches take their teams into the dressing room. They have a conversation that lasts an indefinite amount of time that needs to happen for as long as they want that conversation to happen. Mm-hmm. And you have the owner who's in contact with the league office, but the owner's got to get down to the locker room to see where's everybody's head at, where are the emotions of the team, what's everybody want to do, what does the coach think is the right thing. You know, you're having these conversations with a lot of different people back and forth. And then there's the Players Association. I thought that everything went as well as it could. I couldn't stop but think about the medical professionals on the field and what they must be going through. That is a traumatic experience for them as well. That's not something that, you know, when you go to school and decide you want to be an athletic trainer, and one day you get a job working for the Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals or whoever, this is like a dream job. But you're mostly dealing with athletic, you know, the more common athletic-related injuries and your, you know, knee issues and shoulder issues and those kind of things. And you don't expect to have to do something like those trainers and those doctors were doing the other night, Monday night. And hats off to them, because they seem to, from my living room, seem to be right on top of it and managing that in an unexpected moment as best they could. So I think about them as well. When you think about all the players and the family of the Hamlin family and all his closest friends and the anguish that this is causing. But thanks to that medical professional, the group of medical professionals there to do everything they could to put him in the best position to stay safe and, you know, prayers to them and their families.
Well, and to your point too, and just to get back everyone's got social media, everyone's got a voice now, and everyone uses it. And to get to your point, within an hour, you're talking over 100,000 people in and around that stadium. We're talking about one of the most important football games of the year, not only from a rating standpoint, certainly for the television networks and for the viewership, but you're also talking about seeding that's super important in week 17. Of course, they got one more week. Let me ask you this. If you were Roger Goodell, what would you do with that game? Would you try to push back the Super Bowl up a week so you don't have that bye week? And I know that changes everything. And you're talking over the course of a 2 or 3 week span, but the playoffs start the week after week 18, and thinking that obviously the Bengals are in the mix there. You've got the Buffalo Bills in the mix in Kansas City. What do you do with that game? Do you try to play it?
Yeah, I think you do if you can, but I think that you it's interesting. It will be interesting to see how those two teams are emotionally able to come back and play a game at all.
Absolutely.
I'm not even talking about each other, right? Yeah. Just go play the game. What must practice be like in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And in Cincinnati, but especially in Buffalo. What is practice like? What is their locker room environment like? And I don't follow. Look, I watch the NFL. I don't keep track of, you know, if this team beats that team, then they clinch their division. And all. I don't keep track of any of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the implications are of those two teams playing. Obviously, they're going to keep playing their season. But is it necessary for them to play that game? I don't know. Can they proceed with each of them having a tie? Do you call it a tie? Can you continue? Just they have one less game. Is that possible? I don't know enough about all their procedures there. But again, my assumption is that the commissioner's first thought will be, okay, well, where are the teams at on their feelings around this game? Because yeah. I would think those two teams playing each other again would just really be hard. No, I think it'd be really hard.
No, and to remember too, I mean that that crazy play with Tua Tagovailoa where his hands were clenched in his face, that happened in the same field. I mean, it's just like the people are saying, "Don't welcome me to the jungle." There's some bad karma going on up there.
It's not the chili.
Yeah,
it's not the chili.
No, yeah, exactly. And you know, from the seeding standpoint, there are some ways in order to play the games this weekend, take care of business, and I think the seeding would be the same. But there's a great chance that it won't be. And of course, you're talking about whether you're getting a bye. You're talking about whether you're getting a home game, and obviously that will be decided. But I think the National Football League is holding off, saying, let's play this last week. Let's figure it out. Nothing's going to change. They ain't playing now because they're playing in three or four more days, so it's not going to happen. So, hey, Mark, great stuff, man. Greatly appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We'll catch up next week, and we'll see what's going on in the world of the UAB Blazer Nation, okay?
Yeah, that sounds great, man. Listen, we've got a lot of great games here in front of us in Bartow Arena, and we need everybody coming out. Our women's team had a tough week last week, a couple close games, but they play again tonight here in Bartow and again on Saturday. And our men's team is back at home on January 11th against Western Kentucky, who is always tough. So please, show up and bring your friends.
Hey, and I want to mention this real quick. I've been going to UAB Blazers games for 20 years. And I worked with an Auburn guy and an Alabama guy, and I kind of took them under my wing and I adopted them and I fell in love with them. And I am noticing, you know, I used to go to UAB football games at Legion Field, and I used to go to the basketball games, and there was always that contingency of UAB Blazer fans that were going to be at every event you had, and that's great. I love those, and I still see those people. But now when I go down to Bartow Arena or Protective Life and I see all these new faces that are experiencing UAB athletics for the first time, it's really exciting. It really is. I don't know half the people sitting around me, and I'm loving it because I know it's their first time going to games, and it's super cool. So congratulations on rebuilding and certainly building a brand new culture for UAB athletics. It's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You know, we've tried to take the approach of it doesn't matter who your what school might be your first love. If you live here, you can love us too.
Yeah.
And it was sort of welcoming everybody in, that mindset of it's okay, come on in, the water's fine. You know, we are taking that approach, and we want everybody here. And it's so convenient to be able to get to a game here and get home, especially in the middle of the week with basketball. But even with football, you can make it an all-day experience, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
And still see some great college football or college basketball. And we've got a terrific baseball team this spring and a new softball coach who I'm excited to see, and A.J. Doherty too. So it's just so easy and convenient to come to games here. That's what we encourage people to think about. If they love college sports, come here to UAB and see it.
Great stuff. Thank you, brother. We'll talk next week.
All right, Tony. See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.